From KXCI in Tucson, it is time for the classic pick of the week. Volunteer Chris Carey spends his Sundays selecting and researching our classic pick each week, and then he's kind enough to come in and share his findings with us. Welcome, Chris.
This week, I decided to look at Aladdin Sane by David Bowie. Came out 46 years ago this month. This was David Bowie's sixth album. He was born, a lot of people think it's David Bowie's his real name. His real name is David Robert Jones. And he changed his name when he started getting involved in music because he didn't want to get confused with Davy Jones of the Monkees.
Oh.
And he took Bowie the last name on, he's called Bowie, but he took his name from Jim Bowie from Alamo fame. He started out, he was always into music, and his first album was a self-titled album in 67 on a small label and didn't get much fanfare. And then he released his second album, which was also David Bowie, but it was on Mercury Records. And that was the first album that had Space Oddity on it, which was a hit for him. He still was kind of, a smaller artist, even though he released two albums after that, The Man Who Sold the World in 70 and Hunky Dory in 71, which are both amazing albums, but he hadn't yet become famous. He really didn't start, he didn't break out until he released The Rise and Fall of Ziggy Stardust and The Spiders from Mars in 1972, which was kind of a concept album about Ziggy Stardust, which kind of became his alter ego at the time. It was kind of an androgynous, tragic hero, rock star, extraterrestrial connection kind of guy. That record really is what put him on the map, and then I think people went back and found his earlier stuff. But it is an amazing album, and probably one of, I think everybody would agree with me, it's probably one of the best rock and roll records of all time, in my opinion, probably in the top 10.
It's good.
But that record really put him on the map and made him famous. And it's also at the time, too, that was probably the apex of glam rock. And that's probably the most visible glam rock album there was. And glam rock, of course, is kind of flamboyant and bombastic theatrics. It was mostly a UK kind of phenomenon with bands like T-Rex and Mott the Hoople and Queen and Sweet and Slade. There was kind of a US contingent kind of with the New York Dolls, who were also kind of punk. And maybe early Lou Reed, I don't know, maybe Iggy Pop, even like maybe post Stooges Iggy Pop was kind of, even Alice Cooper was kind of glammy.
Yeah.
And so he kind of took that persona that he developed for Ziggy Stardust and carried it over to Aladdin Sane, which was a very similar kind of framework album. The framework in this album was really similar to Ziggy Stardust, maybe a little bit more raucous and a little bit more scattered, but I think still excellent. And Bowie even himself in an interview after it was released said it was like Ziggy Goes to America.
Yeah.
And so he wrote this album while he was touring the States supporting Ziggy Stardust. And so there's a lot of American themes kind of, or at least abstractly. I mean, David Bowie's lyrics are usually pretty abstract anyway. Most of the recording was done at Trident Studios in London after the Ziggy Stardust tour, so late 72, early 73. And the production credit is shared by Bowie and Ken Scott. And Ken Scott started off engineering for the Beatles. And then he ended up working with lots of famous people, including Pink Floyd, Elton John, and Supertramp, and Duran Duran, and a bunch of different acts. But he worked directly with Bowie on, in my opinion, some of his best records, because he worked with him on Ziggy Stardust, Hunky Dory, this one, and I believe he did with Man Who Sold the World too. Stylistically, it's kind of like the companion piece to Ziggy Stardust, in my opinion. But I doubt I'm the only one that thinks that. It's kind of very similar.
Yeah.
I think that's
the way it's talked about, except it has piano.
And the piano, that's another thing I was going to say, is that the personnel was pretty much the same for both records, except with the addition of Mike Garson, who added all this like kind of cabaret, avant-garde, jazz, freaked out piano pieces in the album, which I think add a lot to it.
Totally. And I've read that guy has done a ton of work. If you look at his catalog, he is really prolific as an artist, but the song that he gets asked about the most is one of the ones he did for album. I mean, the avant-garde jazz piano.
Yeah, it's great stuff. And we should also mention Mick Ronson here, because Mick Ronson, who played with all of the early, he played on all of the early 70s David Bowie albums, and I think not only his guitar work, but he did a lot of the arrangement of the music. And so I think you can really credit a lot of David Bowie's early sound to Mick Ronson too. And I mean, he was amazing. He ended up playing with a lot of different people. I think he played with Mott the Hoople at some point and Ian Hunter quite a bit. He died in 1993. He's only 46, so that's kind of a, that was kind of a bummer. But this record too, commercially, I should mention, this was one of his most successful albums commercially. It actually, in the UK, there were over 100,000 orders for this album prior to it being released, and when it was released, it debuted at number one on the UK album charts. It didn't get quite that high in the US, but it was very successful here. Critically, actually, the US critics liked the album a little bit better than the UK critics, although I think it was pretty well liked on both sides of the pond. But yeah, it's still today, I think a lot of people in David Bowie, who's probably got one of the most impressive album catalogs of anybody else out there. I mean, there's a handful of artists that can stand up with the amount of amazing records he's released. And, and within that amazing catalog, this is usually looked at as one of the better albums in the catalog.
Do you think, I've wondered, artists that create the persona, the musical persona, that, I mean, there was a lot of investment.
Oh, yeah.
In his persona and touring and the act and the whole deal. And later in life, you know, he didn't carry it through his entire career. Do you
he kind of had a couple of different personas that he developed and then killed off. I mean, Ziggy Stardust was kind of only a persona for a couple albums, really. And then he killed him off. And then before you know it, then there was the Thin White Duke and then the kind of dancey funk stuff that you know, Let's Dance and on. I mean, that's kind of like, you could probably define David Bowie as reinvention because he did that quite a bit.
Excellent statement.
Yeah. I mean, he really did. I mean, and there's not very many artists that can do that. I mean, and I think, you know, you could probably say that why he's been around for so long and been so influential for so long is he was able to keep reinventing himself rather than getting stuck in a rut, which I think a lot of artists do. And there's only a handful of artists that have more than three or four really significant albums.
Excellent. Chris Carey, is there any last little bit you want to add?
The last bit, I could talk about David Bowie a long time because he's one of my favorites, but I don't want to just keep talking. So we'll go ahead and play the first song for the week, which is Panic in Detroit, which is loosely based on the 67 Detroit riots as relayed to David Bowie from Iggy Pop. So take with that what you will with the lyrics, because they're kind of abstract.
David Bowie with Panic in Detroit from Aladdin Sane, classic pick